To show you.
Very good. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. Joining me, as always, Anthony Fuentes and Phil Acevedo. Hello.
Hello.
We are doing things a little different this week because I am on vacation, as you are listening to this. And scheduling is a bitch. We had other stuff planned, but it just didn't work out, and there was just a lot behind the curtain going on, and just scheduling is always a nightmare for podcasts. Just know that. If you're thinking about starting a podcast,
can
just
hear the
know.
Anguish in your voice right now, Webster. Holy shit. She's like, I'm not gonna cry.
I'm not gonna cry. Scheduling for D&D, scheduling for podcasts. And those are the two things I love most in this world. And it's That's just true. Both a big pain in the ass. So, that being said, we're talking about Evil Dead Rise. We're doing a little cheeky little review. I'm so excited. The three of us went to go see it last night, so we were very fresh off of it.
Yes. Oh, my God. What a fucking movie.
Yeah.
That was a goddamn good time in the theaters.
Yeah, so we'll do the same thing we normally do for our film reviews. We will do a spoiler-free section review in the beginning, and then towards the back half of the episode, we will delve into spoilers, so that way you can listen, knowing that we will not spoil this movie. But then at the end, if you're not going to see it, or if you're a big old scaredy cat, you can listen knowing that, you know, you can talk to your friends about the movie without having seen it. So.
I'm a scaredy cat.
Aren't we all in some way or another? That's why we love horror, right? So let's dive right in. You guys, what are your thoughts on Evil Dead Rise?
Fun, you want to go first?
Oh, yeah. Whoever is behind the creative talent of the Scream franchise now, this is how you do an installment later on.
Thank you.
God.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Did they take the DNA of the Evil Dead and, like, make it something? They just used everything that makes Evil Dead fundamentally good and transplanted in a whole new story that didn't have to rely on lore, didn't have to rely on really anything. And they expanded on it a little bit, too. And it was like, I don't know, to me it was paced perfectly. Like, I know everybody kept, it was back and forth on whether they had moments of lulls. To me, there was no lull in this movie, except when they had to actually go back and explain shit horror fans already knew. But aside from that, like, that's only because I'm, you know, not a fucking normie and I've seen this shit forever. But, I mean, for normies, I can't imagine what this experience was like. There was one lady next to us who was cackling and, like, losing. But you can tell when somebody in a theater is so nervous, they are being outlandish because they don't want to be terrified.
They don't want to confront their emotions, you mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I was like, every time this girl, like, guffawed and said something that I was like, wow, you are not handling this well, lady. You are not handling this well. There were times that I was just poking through my fingers. I'm like, oh my God, are they going there right now? Holy shit. Yeah, this is how you subvert expectations in a way that feels organic. This is how you honor a franchise for what's made it good. And you have callbacks that are not in your face, but still very, very fun. And holy shit, this is a 1 hour and 40-minute movie. And it to me, just was perfect length, perfect everything. Goddamn, horror is back in a big way in 2023. Somebody else go. I'm going to gush too much.
This is the fifth installment in the Evil Dead franchise, right? And not including Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Yeah, not including the TV show, yes.
So this is movie number five, dude. And, like, Fuen, you said it perfectly, dude. Like, I mean, this is, if you look at other fifth installments, especially recent ones, dude, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. You don't need to have all these callbacks, like, shoved right in your face. You can just literally make a new installment, a fresh installment. They did something similar in 2013 with the remake, and this one, they just went in a very bold, dare I say, maybe even risky direction. by setting it in a different location than we normally see in this franchise.
The franchise never been in there before.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Take it home, baby.
fresh new characters, a great story within a family, and dude, it's of course bloody as fuck. It's disgusting. It's grotesque. What I really love too is that I really felt like this was like directed by Sam Raimi. It felt like Raimi a lot, from camera movement to suspense to even framing. Dude, there's a really sick ass split diopter shot when the mom is in the kitchen and the rest of the family are on the other side of the screen. Like, dude, I appreciate shit like that. I was like, okay, this was the director is
Lee
something Cronin.
Cronin.
Lee Cronin.
Yeah,
Lee Cronin.
Yeah. I was like, dude. Shout out to E. Cronin because, he did really, really good. I'm really satisfied with this movie. I thought it was awesome as fuck. From the characters, the protagonist. Shit.
Did you guys see the hole in the ground?
Mm-mm.
I did not.
Okay.
He did that, was very, it was on my list forever, but I remember hearing very, very, very good things about it.
Sweet. But yeah, other than that, like, this movie was fucking awesome. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I want to watch it again. Lots of fucking thrills, spills. It's another more serious, no-nonsense Evil Dead film, kind of like the 2013 remake. Mm-hmm. I know that the tones have been shifted dramatically since the 90s, because if you look at, you know, Army of Darkness compared to the remake and then Evil Dead Rise, it's a completely different tone, right? So, they went with a different direction with this one, and I loved it. It still works. There's a lot of good thrills and spills, and, I enjoyed the fuck out of this movie.
No, really, April's just a fantastic time for movies. For the movies I want to see twice, I will do a double feature of Super Mario Brothers movie and Evil Dead Rise back-to-back. That's
nice.
So, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, good. For me, I think this is a great way to reinvigorate a franchise without bringing in legacy characters. So going back to the Scream thing, we talked a lot about, in the Scream review, about how bringing in the legacy characters, like, there was just a lot going on there. And I think this is a great way, again, to talk about or to do a new movie in a franchise without bringing in a bunch of references and legacy characters, and it did it very, 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 very well, in my opinion. You guys have pretty much already touched on everything I wanted to say, but I fucking loved this movie. It had everything I wanted.
Yeah.
It had the gore, I think I said it when we walked out of the movies, but it felt like a perfect, like, marriage of Evil Dead and the 2013 remake. It had the modern elements of 2013, but it also had a lot of the classic, like, homages to the first Evil Dead. And I thought that was really, really beautiful and very, very well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay. Affirmative.
I was just like, I don't know. What else is there to say that hasn't already been said?
You're 100% correct. I was thinking the same thing in terms of, like, how the first Evil Dead was a little more serious. It was, like, just, you know, they were just trying to make a sick-ass horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And Evil Dead 2 and then Army of Darkness took a different tone, different direction, which still worked, by the way. Evil Dead 2, I think, is still my favorite one in this entire franchise.
Army of Darkness will always have my heart.
Yeah, all right. And I'm sure there's people out there that actually one. Yeah, there really is not a bad one. And even Ash vs. Evil Dead was fucking awesome. Like, this is a really, really solid franchise so far. So, and then there's not... And I was kind of worried with this one. I was like, man, I really hope there's not... I don't know, the way... You know, a lot of movies are these days. I was like, man, don't give me some, like, cheap laughs or cheap jump scares, which there really wasn't even that many.
There was one where I was like, okay, that's a little cheap, but other than that, all of, like, the scares felt very, like, organic. And it felt very it was very, very well done. Kudos to Lee Cronin, because he did an incredible job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to one more shout out before we get into spoilers and stuff. Way to handle a one location, like, bottle
set. I was gonna say it's a bottle set.
Yep, it absolutely is. Like, you kind of, you know, like, they talk, they only verbalize, like, oh, we're in LA, it's Los Angeles. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
But you know, it could be anywhere. It could be any apartment complex. And but to utilize like just an actual handful of characters and really like maximize each of their appearances and their kills. To the end. Really fantastic.
Good. Yeah. If I were to come up with any like negative gripes I might have, which I don't think I have anything, it would probably be the protagonist, the sister, the other sister, the younger one. She kind of gave me like 2008 Twilight Kristen Stewart vibes with her acting. Like, what's going on, sis? And then like, I mean, obviously, no one is gonna ever come nowhere near as like the level of charm that Bruce Campbell gave us. But like, she was pretty cool in the third act, you know, definitely.
But I would say she's very similar to the in terms of protagonists for the 2013. Like they're there to move the story along, and they're good enough to really sell like the emotion you're gonna try to get out of it. But again, it's just not Bruce Campbell, which is fine.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be. Of course.
I like the pivot. Sorry, go ahead.
Also, like, I don't know. I guess the Gen Z kids were kind of borderline cringe at some points, but I didn't bother me.
I mean, cringe, sure, but also, like, kids can be, teenagers are cringe.
Yeah,
appropriately cringe.
They were realistic teenagers, I'll say, because I did, like, that was very effectively me as a teenager. I was very cringy as a teenager.
They were generationally cringe. How about
yes.
That?
Yeah, because, Oh, I'm with you on that one. What were you saying about a pivot, though, Webster?
Oh, the pivot from Bruce Campbell to female protagonist was very, very interesting, because in 2013, it's like kind of like they gender bent Ash and made Ash a girl. So we did that and then kind of transitioned more into more female leads in this one. And I thought that was an interesting kind of direction to take. And then also in this one, kind of focusing on like monstrous motherhood, which is a film theory thing. And it's just, that was something that I kind of picked up on that I thought was really, really cool. Which we'll talk about when we get into spoilers. But
that's when you said a silent prayer to Laura Mulvey right there.
Yes. but yeah, it was something that I thought like as I was watching, I was like, oh, monsters and mothers, my favorite.
Oh man, yeah, okay. Now we're on the monsters and mothers thing.
Yeah, shout out to Barbara Creed.
I say spoiler talk time. Spoiler talk time.
Yeah, let's take a look at where we are in time, just so I. Yeah, we're like 15 minutes in, so I think that's appropriate. So, really quickly, before we dive into spoilers, I think we are all kind of in consensus here, but do you recommend Evil Dead Rise, everyone?
100%.
Yes. Absolutely.
A million percent. Even. Yeah. Absolutely.
There were some. All right, so when we went to go see it, there were these two ladies, sitting next to me, and I don't think they were Evil Dead fans, and but they were enjoying some stuff, and they were just like at one point they were saying some like kind of sort of they were whispering some like negative stuff like this is dumb, right? Like this, and I'm like, yeah, it's not what I was expecting. And I'm like, you guys aren't clearly like Evil Dead fans. So I'm thinking, like, if you're not a fan of this franchise, it's possibly might not be up your alley. But even for an Evil Dead film, this is quality as fuck, you know? And yeah, I mean, if you're an Evil Dead fan, I don't think you're going to be disappointed at all. I 100% recommend it.
I also totally recommend it. I will say my one gripe, and I talked to Ruben about this, the pacing was like just like a twinge off. Nothing like super, super like it didn't super affect it. I was just very, very tired when we went to the movies because I got up very early yesterday. And so during the lulls in the movie, I was just like, oh, this lull is going on a little too long. I need blood and guts to keep me awake right now.
You're like, I just had two gin drinks
I've been up since 5:30. I need some blood and guts and some gruesome injuries.
You take more pretzel bread and nachos in, and you're like,
because bread will keep me awake for sure. That's what I need, more carbs.
Yeah. Bread and blood, baby.
That's what I run on, truly.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Spoiler time?
Spoiler time. Absolutely.
I think it's time.
What?
I think it's time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Let's
do it. So from here on out, we're talking spoilers. You have been warned. Go watch Evil Dead Rise. Thank you so much for listening. All right, guys. What the fuck?
Yes. Man. All right, so, shit, how do we break this down? Should we just start from, like, can we just say that the mom, I don't know the actress's name, I'm so sorry, but I thought she was fantastic. From
Alyssa Sutherland.
Okay. Sutherland.
Is she, like, Sutherland? Hold on.
Oh, could she be related to Kiefer and Donald? I don't know.
No, she's Australian. Okay.
Australian. All right, cool. So it's just
some regular ass Sutherland. It's fine.
It's just another Sutherland. Yeah. But anyways, I thought she was incredible. She was great. The family, when this is like set in L.A., this is like a very North Hollywood L.A. family.
Oh my God, it's such an NoHo family. You're right. But not the good side, the poor side. Yeah.
They were literally listening to LCD Sound System while, I don't know, she was like doing her hair and the guy was, or the kid was on the DJ's turntables. Mm-hmm. And the daughter was getting ready to be a protester, go out to fight the power.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Again, just very artsy Los Angeles. May I also say, probably my favorite title card in a movie in a long time.
Holy shit!
In a long time, coming out the book ended it with like awesome. Woods from Scenes from the Woods, which I guess is like it's a staple, so they kind of have to throw it in there. So
yeah,
but the way you like, okay, we know we have to do this. By the way, Evil Dead Rise. Holy shit!
Yeah.
Just the idea that they started off with like the kind of nod to the beginnings to Evil Dead 1. By having friends at a cabin, like so good. Yeah.
You start off with that shaky cam, like POV shot that's like running wild, and it drifts into a lake. Turns out to be a fucking drone. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was so smart.
I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I thought that was sick. And then, question. The other protagonist, the younger sister, she was preggers, right? In the very beginning, she finds out that she's preggers. Do we ever come back to that later in the film? Like, does that, I mean...
Several times.
Yeah, they kept saying, like, oh, I guess there's a soul for two that I have to take.
Oh,
just, like, subtle references to that, or then, like, just, like, the youngest being, like, are you going to be a mom? And, like, just, and then the little kid being, like, you're going to be a good mom one day, and, like all these little things that just, like...
Yeah.
Like, she was just, like... Oh, well, maybe I can be a mom. And it just, it was a lot of this, like, monstrous motherhood type shit towards the end, especially because it was, like, two moms fighting each other.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, kind of slipped my mind a little bit because I was, like, just focused with all the rest of the film, like, with all the blood and guts. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot she was pregnant.
Yeah, she was pregnant the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And... also, updates to the lore. I love having that. We have three books of the dead now.
Yeah.
So,
we got options, baby. Options are on the way.
We can continue with this one because literally the ending of this movie could be the beginning of another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
Even though we kind of know what happens because of the beginning of this movie, right? And then now we have a whole other book to play around with and the original.
So this other book could be in a whole different location.
Mm-hmm.
New York, maybe Canada, Mexico.
Where does the original Evil Dead take place?
It's like Maine or New York? I think it's New York.
I think it's New York, yeah, like in the woods.
Yeah, kind of like the Friday 13th, like the same kind of deal. Or New Jersey, whatever fucking thing.
I think it was.
Dude, give me a New Orleans. Huh?
Ooh.
Give me good old, some Cajun fucking deadites.
They're Michigan State University students, so it's somewhere in the Midwest, I'm going to assume, because unless they...
I always thought it was Midwest.
Yeah. In rural Tennessee, there.
Oh, rural Tennessee, that's right. Okay, see, we've literally done the whole series up to this point. We should remember this, but
we shouldn't. My brain is so full of information, dude. There's no fucking way.
I
haven't seen these movies in a minute. I should have done a marathon before this.
Like, I'm watching like all of them today. So,
dude, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then you're gonna watch *Evil Dead Rise* again, right?
Nice.
I mean, it depends, but I'm showing them to someone who's never seen them before, so I'm very excited.
Cool. Oh,
yeah. I don't know, how do they take it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Shit. I mean, you could go another country.
I know. Why be so US-centric?
Yeah. I'm saying either let's go to Mexico, baby.
That would. There we go. Yeah. Or East LA, huh? Oh. Let's just have some vatos and they do the paranormal activity thing, dude.
All right. keep it Southern California. All right.
Keep it SoCal, baby. That's the sequel right there.
Yeah. No, this movie was awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. And from, I think, 2013's... It's been a while since I've seen the remake, but I think this one was just a tad bloodier.
This one?
No, 2013.
Oh, I think was 2013 was a tad bloodier, I think.
Yeah, than this one, which is fine. You know, we can't freaking determine which one's a good movie by the amount of gallons of blood that you're using.
It's by, like, margins.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a 2-liter ounce of Coca-Cola worth of blood.
Yeah, right. Also, I must say, wood chipper ending, fantastic.
Always. That was good. That gave me Tucker and Dale versus Evil vibes.
Yeah, I figured that was going to come in later in the story. I was like, that thing is going to be used for something.
Oh, yeah.
And when they showed it in the parking lot, I was like, that's going to be in the movie for sure later.
They did such a good job of alluding to things, which was fantastic. And then also, again, the Tetsuo monstrosity of all the deadites at the end.
Oh, I was like, that was so good.
That was nuts. That was like very Cronenberg-y.
Some body horror, baby.
Love it. I'm trying to find the fun fact because we talked about it. It was like 23,000 gallons of blood or something absurd. Like,
it was insane amount.
In 2013 or 12,000 gallons. It was
record setting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In 2013's Evil Dead, which incredible. Fede Alvarez, incredible.
I remember taking both my parents to go see it in 2013. I don't think they've ever seen an Evil Dead movie ever in their lives, but they were in the mood to see like a scary movie. And I'm like, guys, well, it just so happens that the Evil Dead remake is in theaters. So
get
like
in the car.
Yeah, so let's go. We invited my friend Bryson to go with us. We went to the Harkins Theater in Mobile. Nice. In 2013, and my mom was just like, so much blood.
I'm
like,
I found it. According to reports in the press, the film used 70,000 gallons of fake blood. In an interview, Fede Alvarez said that they used 50,000 gallons for the final scene alone.
Jeez.
This is in comparison to the 200 to 300 gallons used in the original. That's insane. I had to get the facts, or else it was gonna
pull that shit up, Jamie.
Yeah. I have to be Jamie, or else I don't know who I am. So I think definitely 2013's was way bloodier. However, we get a cheese grater to the leg, which was a visceral, painful, because, like, I've accidentally grated my thumb before, so I know what that fucking feels like. So the idea of feeling that on my leg is deeply unsettling.
Mm-mm. The calf muscle is just shredded a little bit by, like, a centimeter.
Fucking bad.
The glass swallowing, too, got
me. That part. That part.
That close-up. Mm-hmm. I had to look away. I'm like, no. I stopped eating my chips. I couldn't do it.
There were a couple times in the movie where all like the entire theater like made some kind of noise, and the two girls next to me, they were just like, "Oh my god!" And I was just like, and me and Adrian were like, "Oh, fuck, that looked like it hurt."
like fucking normies.
Yeah.
See, I was in the middle, so I only heard you guys like just be like,
"Yeah, no, that shit was awesome." There were some really brutal scenes in it, and that's what I was really hoping to see. My fear was obviously I was scared for nothing because I was like, man, I hope they don't like clean it up or polish it up or make it like, you know, R but barely rated R to the point where it could have been almost PG-13. This went full in, and I'm fucking happy.
We got some solid children death.
I was about to say, dude, don't be...
Yep.
Filmmakers, do not be afraid to kill them kids.
Don't be afraid to kill your main characters. Mm-hmm. Scream.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the core four. They killed almost all the children.
Literally everyone. Yeah. Again, this is super spoiler heavy. So again, like really spoiler. But like everyone died except for like the little tiny child, which like I think
and
that...
And the pregnant lady.
And the pregnant lady.
That's it.
Save the women and the children.
The fact that they did all this, like, kind of restored my faith in, like, new horror films. Like, New horror films, not really, because there's, like, also horror films where you don't need gallons of blood and you can still make a scary-ass fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, The Witch or any, you know, like, you know, Hereditary and stuff like that.
Or Skinamarink.
Or, sure, but, like... But, like, there's, like, when you got movies like Scream, I know we keep coming back to Scream, but this movie said, hey, Scream, fuck your little rules that you set for all these fucking movies. We're gonna do our own shit, and we're gonna be more bold, and we're gonna have some more balls. So, that's what I really like to see. It restored my faith in this specific type of horror films.
I'm with you on that one. I mean, even if this director and this screen, like, they had Jenna Ortega as the goth daughter, she would still die the same way. Because the story just serves that purpose.
Ugh. Yeah.
And her, like, bloody vomiting and everything coming out of her nose and, like, oh.
That was intense. Yeah.
Oh, oh, that got me. I came back from the bathroom, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The mom of the three children, she did an incredible job. I know we already gave Alyssa Sutherland a shout out, but, like, I cannot emphasize how incredible she did. Holy shit.
Yeah, there's gonna be some body contortions. You're like, does they CG this? That, or is that a human doing these insane fucking movements? Because holy shit.
Yeah. And I think the kid, Cassie, I think this was one of her first movies. Oh no, she was in. Let's see. Yeah, I don't think she. Yeah, she.
I think this is her debut, right?
Yeah, because, like, introducing. So.
Cool.
Yeah, she. She ain't gonna be doing no Care Bear movie reboots after this, I don't think.
Oh yeah, we were talking about that too, where it's just like, oh yeah, she's traumatized.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. What an experience for a girl that age to, like, be part of a film like this.
Right.
She is way older than I thought she was. She was born in 2011.
Oh, really? Shit.
Yeah.
Also, so she's,
dude,
like,
she
12?
She looked like she was 5.
Right. Yeah. She looked like, I was just like, that's a very eloquent 7-year-old. Like.
So she's what, 12?
Yeah.
Right? What the hell? Oh, damn. And okay. This probably was filmed a year and a half ago, maybe?
A year ago-ish, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Okay. That makes sense, then. I guess they got her right before. So.
I know. Well, I mean, I want to see her in other stuff. She did really, really well.
Mm-hmm. I'm with it.
Yeah, they all did. But what else in the spoiler territory can we talk about?
Well, if there's anything that I would like to mention... is it kind of brought out a lot of the mythos, I guess, when the earthquake happened and there was a big hole underneath the parking structure. There's, like, this Catholic church bank sanctuary thing that they had down there.
I
think I would like to learn more about that. Like, I don't know if they're gonna do, like, an Evil Dead origin of where the Necronomicon begins movie, but, like, but I don't, you know, that would be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the whole vault aspect, that's true.
Yeah.
This is such a quick movie. It's an hour and 36 minutes.
Yeah, it was fast.
It's like such a quick and easy watch.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. And as of right now, it has an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, earned.
No, deserved, for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
I would even say it probably could be a little bit higher, but that's just me.
Oh, let's see how its box office does. I know Mario's the champ right now, but I would take a hit there just so I can see this movie get some traction.
I don't think it's going to topple.
It's not
going to
beat Mario. Yeah. It's Mario. Not going to beat Mario.
But a good second place, probably, because, I mean...
Not a lot of audience overlap there.
Well, yeah, not a ton. But also, I mean, our theater was pretty packed and for a 9:40 showing.
Well, okay, so I just checked the update right now. Looks like Evil Dead Rise is actually going to have a very good opening, especially compared to the other movies in the franchise, so... Yeah.
Well,
The
marketing campaign for Evil Dead Rise was also very aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Like, that's true. You're right.
Yeah, like, they did a lot of, like, guerrilla marketing. They did a lot of, I mean, I saw ads for it every fucking where.
Everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, and and I was one of the people who was just like, I was gonna see it no matter what, but...
Yeah. Yeah. This was, yeah. I mean, I think it's, I won't be surprised if this gets at least second place in this weekend's box office, because it's a really well-known franchise. It's like, word of mouth is already going good. A lot of people, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes is like the new era Siskel and Ebert, so they'll be like, oh, that's a good percentage there. Let's go see it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, like, critics are giving it some love, so it's like, I think it's going to be good for box office numbers for Evil Dead Rise.
Hell yeah, which means we are more likely to get more of them, which is shit I like.
So I'm looking at the breakdown right now from Deadline, and Evil Dead Rise is expected to do at least $23 million over the weekend, and it's that means it makes back more than its budget already, which is very good. It had a higher cinema score from audiences than the 2013 movie, with a lot of people recommending it. And audience breakdown, the Browns came out, baby, 36% Latino outcome for Evil Dead Rise, with the whites only 3% behind. So there we go.
Yeah. God damn.
Yeah. Well, our theater had a lot of Browns there, too, so I noticed that, too.
Same with our entire crew that went.
Yeah.
I think we matched this breakdown, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. We did. Well, what do we got? The
that's
funny.
I got
that's
four brown people, two white people.
Yeah.
So pretty.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay. Nice. Just so you know, Evil Dead Rise, it's doing good. We're likely going to get more Evil Dead now. We're likely to get more.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Evil Dead 2013 has a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And it was really good.
It was so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are doomed.
People are digging what this has to offer, which I am stoked about. All right. I think we've said all that there is to say so far about Evil Dead Rise. I'm excited to see how it does. And by the time this comes out, we will know. But, yeah.
All right. Should we rate it? Should we rate it?
Yeah, rate this movie out of 5 cheese graters.
Ooh.
You,
fuck.
That's a fucked up one.
I can go first. I think this is like a solid 4. Yeah, I'm gonna go 4.
Yeah.
4 out of 5 cheese graters.
4 out of 5 cheese graters. Okay. I'm going high. Maybe it was recency bias here, but I'm going 4.5.
Damn.
Solid fucking what do you call Deadite Tetsuo amalgamations. Yeah, that's what I'm going. 4.5 of those. Fantastic. Might be one of my favorites in the franchise. And such an easy, like, just a hair over a 90-minute watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So easy.
Yep.
I'm going to give this 4.25 mouthfuls of glass.
Oh!
Ooh.
Oh! Ooh. Oh, that one hurt.
That was tough to watch, man. Yeah. But I liked it, though.
Unfortunately, like, I know how they did that, like effect-wise, and it brought me out of it. Like, I was just like, I know.
With the glass.
Yeah, with the glass. I was like, oh, cool. Like, that's really cool. And then I was just like, okay, it didn't fuck with me that much, but...
You're like, they're eating sugar. Please.
Exactly. I'm like, they're eating sugar. It's not a big deal. Like...
It was just those close-up shots where the glass is piercing through the skin.
From the inside.
Yeah.
That did get me. That got me.
That's where
bit.
I was like, oh, yeah. They're doing that. All
Again,
right.
I stopped eating my nachos. I'm like, these are too crunchy.
They're too crispy.
I can't do it. No more nachos.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. That's it for April. We have May coming up next, guys.
Oh, yeah.
And we are bringing back a well-loved theme. Do we want to tell them now?
Yes, let's tell them now.
We are bringing back Monster May next month, or, next week, technically, for the beginning of May. And we have some awesome picks. We have a first-time guest coming on. We have some awesome movies that I have never seen. And it will be a fun time. So stay tuned for that. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and make sure you stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast, which is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. You can also find Phil on Instagram and YouTube at Phil Acevedo.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Also, you know what? Can I just say something? I literally just thought about this.
What?
Here we go. You ready for this? You ready for this?
Yeah.
Three, two, one. He did the May. We're doing the Monster May. We're doing the May. We're doing the Monster May.
He did the May.
He did the Monster May.
He did the May.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Wow. Way to derail. Way to derail my entire ending spiel.
Wow. Wow. Go eat glass, Phil. Go eat glass right now.
On the way. On the way.
Wow. Anyway, thank you, Phil, for that. And then let's see what else do we got here. The Horrible People's Podcast is a podcast under the Horrible People's Network, and you can find other podcasts just like this one on Instagram at Horrible People's Network, which is HORROR BLE People's Network. We have some awesome selections there for you to choose from, no matter your tastes. And then I think that's it for this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And maybe if there's an earthquake, don't go underground further.
Yeah.
I think. Never trust DJs. Never trust DJs.
Oof. Oof. Too real.
Oh, bye. Shit. See ya.